Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risely Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. It was the perfect storm of multiple different things happening. It's almost kind of like if one of these happened on its own, it would have been like an issue, but not as grand of an issue as it was. And it wouldn't have led to 12 hours of elevated blood sugars. And because it was like a multi-dimensional, there was like multiple pieces to it, that was what made it so complicated for me not to understand like what was going on. A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Welcome back to another episode of Reclaim Your Rise. How are we doing today, my friends? I'm pumped about recording this episode because I know that you guys are going to like it, but also at the same time, I'm like, I wish I didn't have to record it, and I wish that the worst high blood sugar stretch that I've had in a while didn't happen, but it did. And earlier this year in January, I sat down and recorded an episode for you guys on how to bounce back from low blood sugar incidents. And I shared this like very vulnerable and crazy story of a low blood sugar I had a few days before that. And to my surprise, it took the number one spot of the most downloaded episodes of all time since Reclaim Your Rise has existed. And I just find that so funny because all the other episodes, you know, we take hours to prep them and to produce them. And I then, in comparison, just have an incident like this where I have this, you know, crazy high blood sugar thing that happened. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go sit on the mic and share it with everybody. And there's like minimal like prep work and everything for it. But you know, my body just knew. My body was like, we got to even the scales out. And it had to give me this high blood sugar run for my money because you guys like the drama and you want to hear the lowdown from it. And honestly, it was the most terrible blood sugar day that I've had in a while. And I feel like I share on Instagram whenever I have those like really, really bad days. And I want to say they happen like 2, maybe 3 times a year. So if you've been following me for a while, you've probably seen, you know, just me sharing about those days. And they're hard. They are really, there's no like sugarcoating it. They just really take a toll on your mind and on your body. And that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to like debrief together on what happened and what caused it and how I dealt with it on that day. And I'm really pumped about doing that with you guys because truth is, I haven't really went into the details with anybody else in my immediate life because even though they would listen and be sympathetic, like they just wouldn't really be able to fully relate to the conversation. And I know that sharing here with you guys, you were like, I want to know the details. We've been there, we've got it, and we will get it. So let's get into what happened. And I posted a video on my Instagram reels at Lauren_Bongiorno if you haven't seen it or don't follow me there, but on the day that this happened, and I think it was, I want to say May 20th, around like May 20th, something like that, maybe the 19th or so. And when I posted it, I mean, every one of you in the comments who commented, like you were sharing like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this has happened to me and thanks so much for sharing and all these wonderful, wonderful messages that I read every single one of. So that was the thing that I was like, you know what, let's make a whole episode about this. So here's the story to set the scene. The week that this happened was a really big week. I had a lot going on. And also wait, now that I'm thinking about it, we're in May now when I'm recording this. So it was in April. It had to have been April 20th. Okay. Back on track. So this week was a really big week. I had a lot going on. Monday night, I went to this Diabetes Research Institute Foundation fundraiser in the city. And then I had slept over my sister's that night instead of going back to Long Island. And so just like when I do that, you're a little bit misplaced and the week kind of gets a little bit, you know, just like cut into of like traveling back on the train and whatever. So that happened. And then Thursday and Saturday, I was speaking at events. So Saturday, I was keynoting a JDRF event in Brooklyn. Brooklyn. And then Thursday was one of the more important days. I was asked to come speak at one of the largest hospitals in New York to their endocrinology unit. And this is something that had been on the calendar for months and was like a really big deal. And I shared about this too on social, where this has been a really long work in progress, but to get this type of recognition from hospitals on the work that we're doing at Risely and the outcomes that we're getting, our clients and the community that goes through, you know, our coaching programs, but not even just coaching, but just like listening to the podcast, right? Like all that, like the entire like movement that we're creating is just so huge. And for so long, there was this, and now I'm getting sidebarred, but we're just going to flow with it. So for so long, there was this, oh no, like coaching, you don't have a medical degree. Like you're, Lauren, you're never going to be able to make friends with the medical teams, essentially. And that is like completely opposite of what has happened. So many endocrinologists of our clients are like, amazing. Like we're going to recommend you to our other patients. Like we're so grateful for your help. And then, you know, getting to speak and work with more of these hospitals, it's just, it's like watching it unfold is absolutely insane. But anyways, so I'm really emphasizing this because this is Thursday night. So I had to be there, I think at like 5 o'clock, and I've been looking forward to it. I had left pretty much the whole day open on Thursday leading up to this in order to essentially like prep for it, right? Just like get my head in the right space, go over what I was going to be talking about and like adding some things in, taking some things out, and just like adjusting the day of leading up to it, depending on like how I was just feeling. So as diabetes would have it, Wednesday into Thursday night, my numbers were in the high 200s to 300s from not just like a few hours, not like, oh, 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then I woke up and gave a correction. From 12 a.m. to pretty much 12 p.m., there was like 12 hours of death. Like there's no other way to describe it. Like you just feel like you're just dying. Like I was recently asked, like, what does it feel like to be high? And the closest comparison, I'm curious what you would say, but the closest comparison for me that I would say is like when I'm high for that many hours, I've had vertigo one time, and I don't know if it was vertigo or if, yeah, I don't know if vertigo comes from dehydration or if that's another thing, but I was like severely dehydrated like 2 summers ago. It was really hot here in New York and our air conditioning in our new house, it wasn't working and everything was spinning. Like I could not sit up. Everything was like completely spinning. I had to get like Pedialyte. I just like all these things that the doctors were telling me to take. Anyways, all to say, that's the best way that I can describe it. It's like, it feels like vertigo of just like, you can't get up and like everything just feels like just nausea and headache and like no energy and just depletion. But if anybody has a better way to describe it, let me know. From there, it was like just, yeah, a long stretch of feeling like that. And basically what happened was, and how we got there, I was in a super, super deep sleep and I didn't hear my alarms multiple times that were going off. And sometime during the night, I don't know, but I think it was maybe around like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. maybe, I remember finally hearing my pump alarm. So not even my CGM, but my pump alarm beeping. And this has never happened before, but half asleep, I like turned over. And maybe also that's why I woke up from the pump alarm, because I've never like heard this type of alarm come from the Omnipod 5 before. So it was like, my brain was like, oh wait, that's not just like the Dexcom alarm that you're silencing in your brain and you're just sleeping through. Like this is something different. And so half asleep, I like roll over to my nightstand. I pick up my pump and I wish I could figure out like what exactly it said or how to like activate that message again or see what it is online. But essentially it said something like, the pump can no longer deliver automatic corrections based on the fact that it's been doing it so many times in a row for the past 2 hours. You basically have to go into manual mode. So on the Omnipod 5 in auto mode, when you're high, it will give you these like micro corrections to bring you down on its own. And it was essentially telling me like, we're kicking you out of automated mode. You need to go into manual mode because what the pump, you know, is doing is not working enough to bring you down. And I looked at my Dexcom, I saw it was 300. And I really think that this, I was just in like such a deep sleep that I wasn't really acknowledging and processing what was happening. Clearly, I would be like, oh, I'm 300. Why the heck am I 300? I definitely shouldn't be 300. Something else is clearly wrong here. But I was like, oh my God, I'm 300. What the heck? Like, give a correction, put it down, go back to sleep. So immediately gave that correction, whatever it was. And the only thing was I never came back down. And when I woke up in the morning around 7 a.m. and I saw that I was 278, I felt so crummy and I was like, this isn't making sense. Like, why wouldn't I come down? So I did a finger prick on my meter. And when I saw that it was pretty much like, I think within like 5 points off, right, I was convinced like, okay, well, this must be a pump site issue. Because the thing is that even if, let's say hypothetically, it was food related, if it was food related, I would have went to bed and maybe have that like fat rise that sometimes happens. Like, let's just say I messed up the insulin calculation and didn't nail at this time. But like even at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and with all the Omnipod 5 insulin that I was pumping out, I would have come down by the morning time, right? So at this point, I'm like, okay, definitely have to change my pump. So I changed my pump site right away and I give like a full correction. I kind of overrided even like whatever the pump was suggesting and I gave more than that. And usually when I do this, as soon as I change my pump, it's like an immediate double arrow down, right? It's like, oh my gosh, finally my body, you know, it's like my body saying, oh my gosh, finally insulin, like you got it to me. Like let's get down there, baby. But that didn't happen. Okay. So there was no double arrow down. I was waiting for it. And once again, I'm like, what the heck? Like something is not right here. At some point, I don't remember what time it was, but I gave a manual shot. I took out my pen from the fridge and I gave myself a shot of, I think it was like 3 units or something. And then again, waited for the double arrow down because I thought like maybe it was the insulin vial that I was using, even though it was like a brand new one. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm not coming down. Like, something is not right here. So you guys know that I'm a big proponent of problem solving on your own, of knowing your body's patterns, of like being able to take what's going on with highs or lows, your blood sugars, and really understanding what are all the factors here. Because I'm a true believer that way more of what is going on with our blood sugars is actually or could actually be known by you, but we're just not equipped with the right like understanding and education and comprehensive tool set to be able to do that. And so my vantage point and my approach is always like, let's equip you with everything, get equipped with everything so that like when these things happen, you can problem solve, know why it's happening, and then, you know, move on with the rest of your day. But I was going through like so many things and I'm like, I'm like really concerned here. And I was starting to get a little bit nervous because I tested my ketones and it was moderate to like high, like on the color strip, it was definitely almost like a dark pink purple color. And I don't mess with ketones. I'm like, okay, this warrants a call to my doctor. So I called my doctor and I left a message. And about like, I want to say like an hour and a half later, her PA called back really concerned, being like, do you need to come to the hospital? I'm like, look, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just frustrated because I can't get my blood sugar down and I'm chugging water. I'm hydrating. I changed my pump. Like I've done all of the steps. And she's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to talk to the doctor for you and, you know, relay this and then she'll get back in touch or whatnot. And then I can't remember what happened. My doctor, who's so sweet, she ended up calling me back and leaving a voicemail, but like late at night. So I think her PA was the actual one who called back just like a half an hour later after talking to the doctor. She must have been like with another patient. And she said, the doctor said it must just be, you know, a pump site issue. Just keep drinking water and you'll come down soon kind of thing. And I was just like, really? Like, I don't love that advice. Like, I don't love that because I know it can't just be a pump site issue because I've changed my pump. I've also given shots. Like, something else is going on here. So then what I did was I went to one of the coaches on the Risley team, shout out Coach Trista for me interrupting whatever workflow you were in. And I'm like, hey, can I bother you for a few minutes? And we huddled on our team platform, which is just kind of like a walkie-talkie thing and on Slack for anybody who uses it for work. But I was huddling her and I was like, I just need to let you know like what my morning has consisted of. And like, can I just like talk this out with you? And like, can you be a soundboard? Because I'm not thinking straight. And I feel so crummy right now that I'm just like overwhelmed with emotions that I'm not thinking straight on like what is going on here. So she's like, absolutely, like, let's talk it out. So from that convo with her, it took, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. Like, I was able to come to the conclusion of what was going on. And what the outcome of what was going on was essentially this. It was the perfect storm of multiple different things happening. It's almost kind of like if one of these happened on its own, it would have been like an issue, but not as grand of an issue as it was. And it wouldn't have led to 12 hours of elevated blood sugars. And because it was like a multi-dimensional, there was like multiple pieces to it, that was what it made it so complicated for me not to understand like what was going on. So the perfect storm consisted of, number one, I was on my last day of my insulin pod and it was going to expire that morning, I don't know, like 8, 9 a.m. And I had like 15 units left going to bed. And we all know that those last 15 units or the last 10 units or 5 units, like whatever is in there, I tend to feel like when it's like under 20 units, it gets like this, it's like hit or miss. It's like that could be, you know, that insulin can work and get through just as great as it does when you start the pod with with 150 units in it, or it could be complete, just like air bubbles and inconsistent. And I think the latter is what I ended up with. So there was like that piece going on where it was like, I was still getting insulin, but it was just not consistent and what I needed it to be, right? So that was the one piece. Then the second piece was that I had pizza the night before. Now, alone, if I told somebody like, oh, like I had pizza, the immediate reaction, right, would be like, oh, well, you shouldn't have had the pizza. Like that's what made your blood sugar high. And we all know part of why I'm so big on talking about relationship to food and what I talk about to the community. And like what I'm helping you guys with is like how to find more food freedom and to be able to eat these foods and not have crazy blood sugars. So we all know that I've been eating pizza for years and have successfully been able to not, you know, have these kind of crazy nights of highs like I used to have for years and years and years every time that I had pizza. So it's like that alone wasn't the issue specifically. So we have like those two things combined. Then the third piece, and this one I think is like the icing on the cake, is that I don't know if I've shared this story on the podcast, so sorry if I'm repeating it, but a little bit ago, I want to say maybe like a month and a half ago, I ran my Omnipod over with my car. Yeah, if you didn't hear about that, essentially like it was in my driveway. I like had it, I think, in my car door. And then when I opened it, it came out somehow. And then like I got back in the car and then went to the gym and backed up over it. And yeah, all to say like the entire Omnipod cracked and broke, as you would expect it when you run over it with a car. And so I had to get a new one. And the downside of doing that on Omnipod 5 is the algorithm gets to know your body, right? And it takes a few pods for it to really get to know your body. And I was in such a flow state because I've been on it since I think like December with it and loving it and figured out, you know, all my settings and this and that. And now I have to start it all over. And so I'm recording this episode right now on May 11th. And so if this happened around April 20th, that means that I would say, yeah, like maybe I've only been on this pump at that time for maybe like 2-3 weeks, I want to guess, like around that time frame. This is, you know, don't quote me on all this, but like around that. So with that, the whole issue that comes up here is that the day I was having this whole thing Wednesday into Thursday, I was in the absolute peak of my luteal phase. So if you haven't listened to the menstrual cycle episode on the podcast yet, go back and listen to that. But luteal phase for me and for many women who are not on hormonal birth control, you have more progesterone and you have more insulin resistance. And so when I was not on the Omnipod 5 and a regular, you know, just like the Omnipod Dash or any previous pumps that I was on, I had different settings with my background insulin for these few days that it would happen about like, you know, a week and a half before I actually got my period. And my hypothesis is that because the pump had not like run through a few full month cycles or even just like one full month cycle, that because it goes to like the total daily insulin, it was not just like able to catch up and understand the amount of insulin that I needed for this time. And I don't think that there's no pump that does this right now, but there's no pump that really can do this automated, and it has to be to a degree like manual. But previously, before I got the new Omnipod 5, I had figured out on the automated system that it was able to kind of like catch up in some ways, and then I had to just supplement it a little bit with corrections and insulin to carb ratios. But this one was like, we're starting from square one, we're starting from scratch, and like we are giving like nowhere near, I was getting nowhere near the amount of insulin that I needed overnight as this like luteal phase day hit. So the combination of the pizza, the pod expiring, and being in the luteal phase, like on that peak day that it was happening for me, like all led to this perfect storm of super, super, super high numbers. And so what's frustrating, right, in hindsight, is that when I called the doctor, right, if I didn't know all of this, if I didn't sit down and was like, I want to figure this out, what ultimately would have happened was I would have been super frustrated with the pump and been like, something's wrong with the pump, it's the pump's fault. Or I would have said, okay, I'm just going to like waste another pod and change the pod, and like it just has to be that. And I would have probably been high for like the remainder of the day, and like who knows what would have happened with like ketones and things like that. But once I understood that like those were the things at play, I was like, okay, like I got this. And I ended up taking my pump out of auto mode, putting it in manual mode, changing up the settings. And like, I'm just looking, let me pull it up here. I just had it up. My Dexcom Clarity from the day. So I remember figuring this out around like 11-ish, 11:30. Like it was like an all morning kind of event of like freaking out and trying to figure out what was happening. And then yeah, as soon as I put that other background insulin piece in and then just started giving corrections and whatnot, I came down and was back in range for the entire day. So this is what occurred and this is what happened. And it was a sucky day. I felt horrible. Why I felt even more horrible was I have this thing tonight that I'm so looking forward to, and I have to be in my like peak state four, and nothing I do can reverse the past 12 hours and get me to a state of, you know, feeling at my best to be able to deliver peak performance. But it was what it was, right? And there was no changing that. So in addition to sharing that story with you, I want to also communicate three key takeaways that I have for days like this, because this is the last day of my life. This is going to happen. It's going to happen again. It's not going to happen. Fingers crossed. I'm knocking literally on all the wood right now. It's not going to happen anytime soon. I'm not due for one for the next couple of months, but this is kind of how I think about days like this that hopefully can help you. So three things. The first one is when I posted that Instagram video on the reel of the day, you can go back and watch it on Instagram. Our director of operations at Risley, Amanda, who doesn't have diabetes, she said something to me. She's like, it's amazing. It still blows my mind how you can be the best diabetic. You guys are all, when she's saying you guys, she was talking about like, you know, me and all the coaches on our team, like all of you guys can, you know, help other people so much with their diabetes and getting in control, but you're still not immune to days like this. And hearing her say that, it was extremely validating of being like, yeah, like that's exactly it, is that you can be the best quote unquote diabetic or diabetic expert, and like you're not immune to days like this, because sometimes, you know what I say, diabetes is just gonna diabetes. So that was the first takeaway of like, we have to remember to treat this as math because it is going to happen. The second takeaway I have is that what helped me most in this day were two things. First, I took it out of the shadows. I could have very easily just went on with my day, not really posted on social media, not told anybody what was going on, and smiled and pretended to be okay. But instead, I really balanced my responsibilities for that day. Like I had like a 9 a.m. call and a 9:30 call. So it was like an hour of calls. I'm like, I can do this, but like, I'm not just going to like pretend everything's okay. Like I'm going to post about it on social media. And so I took it out of the shadows. And by doing so, I had so much support from you all, you know, like I shared earlier, just thank you so much for sharing. And this is so helpful to see. And, you know, I usually have so much guilt and it's so great to relate to somebody else who, you know, is having a day like this and all of that. And that was really helpful just to feel like I wasn't alone in it. And then the second thing that really helped was that I didn't push myself that day, and I did let go of the guilt surrounding that I wouldn't be able to accomplish what I had planned to that day. If it were me a couple of years ago, I'm thinking like college, high school years as well, I would have went to the gym. I would have like pushed myself to be like, we need to sweat it out and we need to, you know, still perform and, you know, at our A plus peak state and all of this. And I was just like, you know what? It's not going to happen today. And I'm just going to do my best and what I have to give, but I'm not going to compare myself today to what I could accomplish on any other day where my health was not where it was. And I think that, you know, I'm so split on this, but as a kid growing up, my parents were very much into like, if you had a bad blood sugar night, like it happened, but like you're getting up and you're going to school. And there was, of course, some days if I woke up and I was like 300 or 400, it was like, you know, I couldn't get out of bed. It was like, of course, like understandable. But for the most part, it was like diabetes isn't going to stop you from doing anything. And so like, you're like everyone else, like you had a hard night, like we get it, but like you're good now, like let's go to school. Or maybe I would like miss first period or something, but it was never a cop out in a way, I guess, or that's how we were looking at it, is like diabetes isn't a cop out. That's what it is. Like diabetes isn't a cop out. But what I've now reclaimed as an adult is actually the understanding that it's kind of like a sick day, right? Your body's sick. And even I'm talking through this with you guys now because I'm like even trying to figure out like my thoughts and my core truth and belief on this. But I think that's what it is that like your body is going through something and it's not weak to sit on the sidelines, or it's not weak to not go to the gym, or it's not weak to, you know, say, hey, like team, like I need to take, you know, the afternoon to like get myself in order. Or if you like, let's say you're working a corporate job, like it's okay to put in for like a sick day. That's not weakness. That's just like honoring what your body needs and showing it grace and showing it compassion and showing it love. So just want to share a little bit about that. And then the third last takeaway was that I was scrolling through before this Instagram comments on that video from you guys. And there was one from somebody named Jennifer. So Jennifer, if you're listening, hi, shout out to you. And I want to share what she said. So she said, thank you for sharing this. This can be such an isolating disease because no one knows what's happening or how we're feeling unless we tell them. And for me, days like you describe sometimes feel like such a personal failure. It's hard to not blame yourself and often our loved ones' responses by asking, well, what did you do? Or what did you eat wrong, etc. Although they don't mean harm, they're trying to problem solve. It still feels blamey too. But thank you for helping to normalize this for us. Heart, heart, heart. So I wanted to point out, because I think a lot of people probably feel this way too, the personal failure piece hits hard. And for me, I tend to think specifically, it's not like I've failed, it's I've failed my body. It's almost like I failed something else. Even though I'm one and the same with my body, it still feels like I failed my body. And in the same way that like when I feed my body healthy, nutritious foods, right? You just feel like, oh, like, wow, like I'm feeding my body like all this fuel and these nutrients that are going to help my skin and my nails and my energy and, you know, my focus and longevity and all these things. And then vice versa, if you're just like filling it with junk food, it's like looking at your body as this entity, right? And you're separate from it in a little bit of a way. And what happens when I start to think of like, I failed my body, is that it makes me really sad. And it makes me sad when I get too deep into like the damage that those 12 hours must have did to my nerves and all of that. But I try not to stay there and I pull myself out and I say, you know what? These days happen. And overall, if I'm able to be at a place where the majority of my life, I'm treating my body good and I'm on top of my blood sugars and I'm really intentional about what's in my control, then that's a win. And I really want to encourage you to almost like look at your diabetes like a job. And if you're underperforming at your job, you might want to ask, right? Or even if in a manager position, right? If you have somebody underneath you that's underperforming, you're going to ask like, why? Well, what's the root here? Did you mess up on that thing because it was like random occurrence of a computer error, system error thing that's outside your control? Or is this something that's like repeatedly happening? And if it's repeatedly happening, it's like, okay, well, there's probably something in your control here that like, you know, filling the gaps on your knowledge and your education and things like that. But if it is this kind of like, you know, once in a blue moon, that thing that happens, that's where you got to show up and be like, well, you haven't failed your body. Like, this is just the bar, right? Like, you're going to have days like this and you have to count it in. You have to treat it as math. So that's a wrap on the debrief of what happens when I've had and on the specific time, you know, a bad high blood sugar stretch. I will say it took me a good 48 to 72 hours to feel better again. It took me a lot of sleep, a lot of water, and I was really hyper-focused, I will say, like on my blood sugars throughout the next, you know, couple of days. I wasn't having like, all right, let's have pizza balance. I was like, we're eating salad. We are eating just like easier to bolus for foods to kind of like balance out and bring my body back into balance. So I hope this was in some way helpful for you, whether you've had a time like this in the past that you can relate to, or whether you've had something this week where you just like needed to hear this message in this moment and in this week, or if you're newly diagnosed and you're scared about this happening maybe in the future, know that there's a very good chance that it may happen. And it's okay because it happens to all of us and there's nothing that we cannot rise above. So we'll end on that note, sending you guys lots of love, big hugs, and I'll see you here next week, same time, same place. Thank you so much for being here with me today and listening to this episode of Reclaim Your Rise. To let us know that the episodes we're putting out are impactful and to help us get our street cred up and let everyone else know that this is something worthy of their time to listen to, please leave a rating and review on our Apple Podcasts, send the show to other people impacted by T1D or maybe even your doctor, and share it on social media tagging at Risley Health and at Lauren_Bongiorno. New episodes of Reclaim Your Rise come out every single Tuesday, so make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so that you never miss a beat. Thanks again for listening, and as always, remember, diabetes is a challenge that we did not choose, but one that we can rise above.